This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. My name is Tebogo Mafodi. It is a beautiful Wednesday evening. You know that whenever you hear us on air, we bring you nothing but the best. We bring in subject matter experts, we bring in regulators, we bring in game changers. I'm particularly excited about today's game changers and the discussion that we definitely have, because we're talking about something that is very close to my heart, having been in this business and half of the time struggling with getting black professionals that are in the space. And with some of the people that I have interacted with out there, they're always under the notion that we do not have black professionals that are in the engineering space. Oops, I've actually let it out that we are talking about engineering today, but particularly today we're talking about the business of black engineering or black engineers in this industry, because it is a big industry and a multi-billion dollar industry, in fact a multi-trillion dollar industry if I may add. But however, how many black players are we seeing them out there? But I'm particularly excited about the guests that I've got today. These are the guests that are in this space that, you know what, have paid their dues, are paying their dues, and more than anything, they've put their skin onto the game, and they're going to share us as to how they started to get into the space, and most importantly, what is sustaining them and how we're going about how we're going to go about actually taking their business out there. But if ever you've just joined and you're able to go to www.cliffcentral.com to actually catch the show, and more than anything the podcast if you happen to miss it, and more than anything we've got our social media platform, it's at cliffcentral.com on Twitter, and it is Cliff Central page on social on Facebook. If you want to follow me, I'm at Tebogo Mafodi on Facebook, and Tebogo Mafodi everywhere, Instagram, Twitter, everything else. It is anyway the name of the brand. But let me take this opportunity to welcome my guest. I've got two beautiful ladies and two gentlemen in studio that are movers and shakers in their own right. Thank you, ladies and gents, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Definitely. Let me get straight to it. They do say ladies first. So we've got none other than Metebogo from Ditsogo Engineering and Project. Metebogo, take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Good afternoon to all the listeners. My name is Tebogo Mosito. I'm from Ditsogo Projects, based in Rustenburg. My company specializes in steel engineering services and fabrication of underground cars. It's one of the most black women-owned companies, so I'm very excited to be here.
So you came all the way from Rustenburg?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good thing you didn't drive alone, right?
Yes.
Okay, who did you come with?
I come with my partner. Her name is Lesego Makai. She can introduce herself.
Okay, Lesego, say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is that you do.
Good day to the listeners. Hi, Tebogo. I'm Lesego Makai, Executive Director of Ditsogo Project. Mm-hmm. What I do is it's to market Ditsogo Project, make sure that we reach greater heights, okay, and we are visible to other stakeholders.
How has that been going so far?
It's been going well. I believe next year will be more visible, because right now, I think only a few know about Ditsogo Project.
Okay, so how long have you been in this business?
I've been with Ditsogo Projects for 3 months.
You're a newbie, Miss. Where do you come from?
Well, I'm from the banking industry.
Okay.
I studied business management. So
why did you leave banking for engineering, though? Do you know we get dirty here?
Yes, okay. I've got a passion for business.
Okay.
Yes, I've been making millions for the banks, so I think it's time I make millions for Ditsogo.
Oh, nice. Yeah. No, I like that. I've got my brother Muzi. Muzi, say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what is it that you do.
Hi, Tebogo, and hi to your listeners as well. my name is Muzi, from Middelburg, reside in Johannesburg, have a company called Moseley's Project. We basically doing mechanical, electrical and civil, partially, okay, because of some reasons. Yes.
Is my space, you know, right?
No, but in under civil, you need to build a foundation.
True.
For me to be able to put my pumps and my motors and everything, I need to build.
Smart man. Okay. Smart man. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, now we're there.
Okay, definitely. Thanks. I've got a childhood brother and friend of mine that we grew up together. So, who's been in this space? My brother, say hi to our listeners. Tell us who you are and what it is that you do.
Hi, listeners. My name is Tsepo Manyaka. I'm a father. I'm an engineer as well. I've been into engineering industry for the past 14 years. I've been working with different types of machines, CNCs, they call it, but in full name, it's computer numerical control. And I've gained a lot of experience on that field. And
you even flew abroad.
I even flew abroad. I went to Sweden for a month to learn, to gain experience on how they do work relating to us. I mean, comparing to us, you know. So, but yeah, it has been a good journey. And yeah, that's about it.
No, definitely. Maybe let's shoot straight to the business of today. But maybe I want to know, I think, from Tebo. Take us from the beginning. How do you start? You know, and why particularly this business? Because now you're supposed to be in the kitchen there, you know, cooking for us, or maybe owning Sobey, doing our nails, you know. And when are you going to be coming with pipes here and steel?
First of all, I'm an HR graduate, so I worked for government and I worked for City Power. When I was at City Power, the planning division, I had an opportunity to attend the mining in Durban. So when I was there, I identified opportunities in the mining sector, and I realized not many women are tapping into the steel engineering services, which is very high lucrative. You know, it's capital intensive. You know, you need to have funds.
So you didn't study engineering?
No.
Nice. I like it. But then take me how you started. You just decided to say, I want to get into this space? Or was it an opportunity that presented itself?
No, from the mining endeavor, I started doing research on the industry, like the heavy metal fabrication. Mm-hmm. And I approached NYDA. They took me to Germany. I did a mentorship at Forzheim, yeah, mm-hmm. It's a company in Germany. I did CNC machining, you know, cutting, bending, so to understand the whole industry,
nice.
You know. So I did, you know, do some practical, you know.
Yeah, wow. And today you're in this space.
But it was hard, you know, to start for me.
How many years has it been?
I registered the business in 2012, but it took 3 years to really start operating. So I started in 2015.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was very hard. I took all my savings, you know, to start up the business.
But the savings are big. You're making money now.
I only started making money last year, to be honest. For the past 2 years, you know, I sometimes wanted to go back and look for a job because now I lost all the benefits of having a salary, medical aid, and all those things. But the passion, the drive, and then the fulfillment of, you know, working in this industry is always, when you go to site meetings, I'm the only woman there. And having to prove, you know, every time that you can deliver the same quality of service, it really pushes me to work hard, to really stay in this business and sustain my business.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Muzi, you're from Middelburg. Middelburg is technically, in South Africa, it's regarded almost a rural area or semi-rural. It's semi-rural.
No, it's becoming slowly urban.
No, it is. No. Thanks to developers like myself. You know? So now for me, there's somebody that is listening in Mpumalanga. There's somebody that is listening in Natal. Do you understand? There's somebody that is listening in KZN and everything else. Typically, we've seen that people that more or less come from some of these areas, it's people that want to be employed other than run their own businesses and change the game. Do you understand? You've decided to break the rules. You know, you decided to go beyond the scope and the limitation. That's why for me, I think I really want to know your story as to how you started. What led you to say, you know what, I don't want to be having a boss. I want to be a boss.
In short, I would just say, as I was doing my training at Eskom,
okay,
I went to do in service. One of my training instructors said to me, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Why are you saying that?"
Nice.
I said, "No, I'm here to do my in-service training and this is more about," he said, "No, your personality, you know, you don't need to be in this space. Yes, get what we have to give to you, go start your own business." I've listened to the guy and it went to my head. Went to work, started working, and I'm like, nah, how can someone see that in me? You know, this someone will see something in me. And then whereas I believe certain things are not meant for everybody.
True.
I believe business as well. It's a calling. You know, all of us can start business, but there are those few who can make it.
True.
Because it needs you to have perseverance and all that. So with me, I've listened and I had it in me, but for that guy to say that to me, it pushed me. Then I started. And then from this guy, it's a limit, even though there are a lot of challenges. And I'm working very hard, having few hours to sleep. But yeah, I'm working very hard in the space, which is...
So wait, let me ask you, what personality was that? Or what's that personality trait that this man saw? Or you that you think he saw?
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know because in certain environment, I'm a quiet person. You know, not quiet in a sense that I will talk if you engage. But apparently, I have got this face that he believes would mean I'm... He was just saying a lot of things, but a lot of people do say that to me about that face.
Why? What face is it?
No, I don't want to say it. Now you're putting me on the spot.
So, but what do you think? What do you think that face is?
Oh, well, that looks like a guy who knows what he wants in life.
Is it? Don't buy Moses' face. What face do you think is it?
Teboho, don't forget that when we come out of here...
Okay, let me just hold my thoughts.
No, I want to hear it. I'll protect you.
The face is like he's hungry for money. You know, when you're hungry for money, then you can take risks.
Yeah,
he looks like a risk taker.
Is it? No, you guys must fix your faces out there.
You know, I did try. No, I'm trying now, you know, to do some, you know, face lifting. I mean, I don't have enough money to do that, but I'll try.
No, your face is perfectly fine. You don't need any face lifting. Yeah. I think for me, Muzi, what you're saying resonates a lot with where I come from. My grandfather spoke over my life, you know, and I had people growing up that were speaking over my life, that were seeing in me what I couldn't see in myself. So for me, I'm just putting your leg, trying to really understand to say so that to see if ever you know what that means. Do you understand? And sometimes it's not everyone. You might not have somebody that would see over your life. Do you understand? And for me, Tepo knows. I remember. I think, I don't know how many years back, we were sitting inside in Uno. I used to have in Uno 1.1. You know? It was smoking all the way to wherever. We were stopped by the police. So I remember it was raining. We were sitting outside his gate.
Yeah.
You know? And remember, we were speaking about the life that we want to live.
True.
Do you understand? And for me, it's something that I think for me became a defining moment. I knew on that day, on that night, you say, I want to do something big. Do you understand? With my life, I want to do something big in my career. So I've realized to say we've got defining moments for us. So I want to know, Tsepo, what was your defining moment to say this is the industry you want to get into?
Well, there was a time when let me start here. It was 2004 when I lost my mom. And after that, I was just completing my N courses. And right on that time, I was unemployed. And I started looking for a job. I remember when I took a decision, before my mom passed away, I went to her in the hospital because she was my breadwinner. I never had anyone to ask anything from, you know. And when I was there, I remember looking at her and telling her that, Mom, you know that you can't support me anymore. And now what's going to happen from now? So, and she looked at me and she was like, listen, whatever you decide, it's fine by me. And I remember taking a decision that I wanted to go to where she used to work. Mm-hmm. It was an engineering company. I went there and I asked the owner because the owner remembered me because of my mom. She used to work for him for quite a long year, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I got there, I told him, I remember I didn't have a CV, nothing. I went to him and I told him straight, you know, that, listen, I know you know my mom, she's in the hospital. and she cannot provide for me anymore. And I think it was about, I was 22 of age. And when I asked that man that, listen, I'm asking you to give me a job, you know, because I need to change my life because nobody's going to look after me. You know, and I remember this man looking at me and is thinking to himself that, first of all, you don't know engineering. You don't know what's happening here. And you just come and you ask him for a job. And I, and what he asked, what he told me was, it's fine. Come Monday, let's see what can happen. You know, let's see what you'll do. You know, and I remember going there Monday, getting excited that I've got a job. And when I started working, he said, you'll be working around, you know, the workshop, cleaning up the machines, you know, touching up stuff, you know, and moving stuff. And that's, I actually got motivated by doing that. You know, I don't know. The excitement of me was, I got a job, you know. Mm-hmm. And after that, I realized while working that engineering, it's actually big, you know. And while I was on that note, I remember looking at these machines, you know, CNCs, with lots of calculations to do, you know, not having an understanding of what is happening there, mm-hmm. you know. And that's when I decided that I'm going to study this machine. I'm going to learn. I want to know what's happening here. And ever since that, I never looked back, you know, and up until now, I've been, you know, being, you know, motivated by that learning. You can, even if you don't know what you're doing, but if you are passionate, if you push yourself, you know, you can be in position to achieve what you're looking into, you know.
Yeah. So, Tebogo, what you told us how you started. What was that defining moment for you?
For me, first of all, what got me attracted to this industry, ne? I grew up from a rural village called Maile in Rustenburg. It's surrounded by Impala Platinum Mines. So every time we used to drive past the mine and I see all these steel structures, and I used to say, I need to know who's building these structures. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I see all these trucks coming from Joburg delivering, and I'm asking myself, why can't we have SMEs in Rustenburg, you know, supporting the mines, you know, doing the same services? So 2014, you know, I was in Joburg. I was working perfectly. In fact, I was running a small steel business, doing steel gates, butler bars, and so forth. Mm-hmm. I was married. I was working with my husband, who was a welder then. Then we started having several challenges. When the business started growing, you know, the money's coming in, then we started fighting a lot. And, you know, I was involved with the DTI programs, you know, the export programs, trying to get markets in Malawi, Zambia, Botswana. So I was traveling a lot, and that affected our marriage. So we used to fight a lot. Hmm. And, you know, as a young person, I got married at a very young age. Mm-hmm. By age of 27, I already had 3 kids, boys, with my ex-husband. Unfortunately, we had to divorce because for me, I think I wanted to defy all the, you know, cultural beliefs that as a woman, you have to stay at home, raise the kids and so forth. And I'm a Motswana and he was Pedi. So we had a lot of cultural differences. We fought a lot, like, you know, the BEE things was, you know, coming up. So he used to maybe listen to the relatives and other people say, no, you can't have a woman in business and you are like shareholders in the same company. She needs to just be the admin person doing all these things. So I realized, you know what, this man, he doesn't see the potential in me. I'm the one who's really marketing this business, growing the business. I mean, when we started, it was just a backyard operation in Diepkloof, Soweto. Mm-hmm. But through my skills and my interactions with the DTI, I'm a former SAB Kickstarter.
Nice.
I won some awards.
You've been
grants.
In this hustle, ne?
Yeah, so I've been an entrepreneur for the past, you know, 10 years. Yeah. Yeah, so I invested a lot in that business, but they couldn't see the potential. All they saw was like the boho, the, admin person.
You're taking me somewhere, but before I get there, Muzi, what was your defining moment?
I would say realizing opportunities, you know, that are there, you know, and I saw there's been quite a number of emerging companies that are doing mechanical engineering within our society, but they don't do they don't do detailed mechanical electrical engineering. You know, they just want to go and assist and be this and that, you know, in small portion. But I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do it. And
So Tebogo is taking me to a different space. So right now it's something that I think bothers me, and at the same time doesn't sit well with me. I'm also divorced, by the way. Yes. So and I know how it is being in a marriage where there's no support. And when are you out there chasing this vision and you're doing this and that? Do you understand? So, and somebody else doesn't see it. Somebody else doesn't support it.
Yeah.
And I can imagine being in the industry that we in, being engineering and whatsoever. So to say, sometimes, even from a figure's point of view, you understand? Somebody would hear you maybe speaking millions and whatsoever. Somebody thinking it's a dream. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So, maybe let me start with you, Tsepo. Do you think we have a misconception about marriage and business? Because for me, I think it's an error that when you run a successful business, then you need to be divorced. Because right now, I think first business starts in the family. Do you understand? Same goes for me. Do you understand? So it's something that I think I want us to fix the misconception for other people that are listening that want to get into the space. Do you understand? Maybe somebody else is listening. They are just newlyweds, and this, and he's thinking, "Yo, this man or this woman, should they start?" It means lo divorce, and it shouldn't even be the case.
Well, I would say it starts with a priority. In marriage, it's about priority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prioritize what you want to do within it. The worst thing is when you go into marriage with someone who doesn't see who you are, who only saw what you have.
Mm.
And once that have part has gone to waste or has gone out, that person decides to leave you, you know. So that's why I say when we start with priority, that's when you know that whether we have or we don't, it wouldn't make any difference, you know, in a sense that you can have someone who's supportive while you guys are hustling, you know. Let me use that word.
Mm.
And then until to such an extent that you guys starting to achieve your hustleness, you know, you like my sister was saying that, you know, that they started having a lot, you know, and then everything started to go AWOL, you know. So I would say if the priorities were laid in marriage when everything started, it gives you a reference, a point of reference to say, remember when we started, this is where we were.
Mm.
And now that we are here, why should we separate, you know? But if that priority is not there, then when we achieve or you don't, you will still find it's like you're asking for someone comes in, you know, and, you know, invade into what you guys have worked hard for. And then after you've allowed that, then everything starts to change, you know. So for me, it's all about priority. And it's the good thing, it's when you speak to your partner, you know, speak to him or her, you know, with whatever that you guys are facing, you know, because if there's no enough communication, some of the things will bring this mindset of saying maybe she's start or maybe he's starting to see things, you know, from not from the original, you know, view that you guys started the vision of whatever that you were doing, you know. So that's where everything's changed. But for me, it's all about priority, you know, and have a open communication. You know, the more we communicate, we don't leave gaps for things to come in between us, you know. So that's what I look at, you know, priority, you know, into your marriage.
Muzi?
My take on that is, okay, my wife as well, she's into business as well. So I support her all the time, you know, with what she wants to achieve. But it's very important to communicate, even though communication might break down, you know, due to principles. Because I believe me getting married, I think there were the not rules per se, but I understand what are the reasons of me getting married. She understood why we got married.
Mm.
Now we're into business. We want to make this businesses work. You know, you should know who you are.
True.
You know, me as a man, I know who I am. What role must I play in my house? My wife knows, even though she's a businesswoman, she knows her role in at our household. You know, it's something that we cannot have an argument over.
Mm.
You know, I wouldn't argue with her over those, and she wouldn't argue with me in terms of playing my part. Mm. So I think at times we tend to lose who we are in the in terms of the marriage.
Mm.
You know, we tend to not remembering why are we married or so.
Okay, then let's talk friendships in business. How important are they? Because right now they say, you know, tell your friends that you're starting a business. See how many will support you. Because I've realized we do not support each other as friends. And for me, if ever we are friends and we can't grow together or find the need of wanting to grow together, do you understand? As difficult as it is, because this is, I want to take this to the issue of transformation and BE, do you understand? But right now, I want to start it, that's why I started from family. Now, from a friendship point of view, how important is friendship in this business? Do you still have some of your old friends, and are your friends supporting you?
Truly speaking, the minute I started the business, I lost quite a few friends.
I know.
Yeah, I do have friends, yeah, but we don't really get to spend more time together because they are working. They would encourage me to go look for a job because sometimes if I'm having business problems, when I talk to them, like they don't understand, you know.
And the first thing they send you to go prepare your CV.
Yeah.
Mozi?
Yeah, no, I remember when I started, there were some guys that I used to work with. You know, different fields. Guys, come, let's get together and do this. You know, today, when I go to where they work, I'm expecting them to understand.
Oish.
Guys, man, now I'm back, so guys, do something.
Yeah.
But I've realized a guy who doesn't know me, you know, gave me a platform.
Oish.
And then since then...
You see, Muzi, it's there that disturbs me. Yeah, since then?
Since then, believe you me, I respect anyone who doesn't know me and comes to me and say, no, listen, Pramuzi, I'm into business. This is what I want to do, and I'm running short of this. Can you please assist?
Mm.
You know, others who are listening that knows.
Mm.
I did help them. Others, they did whatever. But in my head, it was about someone who doesn't know you will give you a platform.
Yeah, yes, Muzi Yang, disturb, yes. I think we must just finish with you and say, Muzi, thank you. Because Muzi hits home, right?
Yeah.
So I could relate a lot with your story.
Yeah.
So I think me and you must have beer, you know, yeah. Or whiskey or whatever.
Yeah.
So because you know what disturbs Muzi, in my life, from my church, from my own family and stuff, I had a lot of influential people. Do you understand? I had a lot of influential friends and whatsoever. People that could have easily, by a snap of a finger, do you understand? Things for me would have gone boom. Do you understand? So, and yet, they never did that for me. Do you understand? Instead, those are the people that never believed in me. These are the people that never encouraged me. These are the people that walk away and this and that. Do you understand? And it's strangers that open up doors for me.
Thank you.
Do you understand? And for me, being a spiritual person, I've understood to say, maybe God did what he did because he wanted to be the one that takes the glory, not other people take the glory.
Yeah. True.
Do you understand? Because maybe Muzi, if ever they had helped you, I'd be able to do but then I'm bonanji. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So now that you don't have the power to say that and this and that, do you understand? So that's why I think for me, contrary to what happened to me, I try by all means to open up leeway for my friends.
Mm.
Do you understand? I try to create opportunities for me. But what has been your experience?
Well, in terms of friendship, well, mine it's a bit of different. Well, I still have my childhood friends, you know. We still, you know, share that friendship, but with responsibilities, because now that they are married, some of them, you know, they've grown to move to other places. Mm-hmm. But in terms of helping, yes, like it has not been a good journey for me. You know, we can talk about, you know, where I am. You know, it's like right now they know that, no, Tsepo is married, he's got children, and he's an entrepreneur. Since he got retrenched last year, he's unemployed, you know. But in terms of supporting, it's a distance, except those who are close, like you did, you know. For them not to do that, I don't look at them in a bad way, you know. I don't blame them, you know, because you don't know what might happen, you know. But it has been a very rough, you know, experience with friends, you know. So, yeah.
Okay. So now, since we've gotten that out of the way, then now let's come to real conversations. Right now, if ever our own families, our own brothers, you know, cannot support us. Right now, we're living in a country that is economically growing by far. You know, there's companies, international companies, like the one my brother used to work for as well, Tsepo, you know, and that have come into the country. They're monopolizing the industry. They've closed the value chain for people like Mozi, people like you to come in, do you understand, and get onto the this value chain. Right now, we've got a government that is inverted commas, trying to advocate for ordinary people like me and you to actually penetrate, to actually get in. Hence the point of BEE, hence the point of transformation. Do you understand? But right now, you go to some of these companies, you find our brothers and sisters sitting in this position, responsible for supply chain and everything else, refusing to open up these doors for you. Do you understand? Yeah. Or you coming into the door, knocking, being intimidated by you. Do you understand? So right now, we are in an industry that is very white dominant, male dominant, and things like that. Right now, what is so hard for us to penetrate? I want to hear from some of your experiences. Debza?
Currently for me is the compliance. You know, there's a lot of requirements in the industry. You know, as a small business, you are expected to, say, for example, be ISO 9001 certified.
And ISO is not cheap.
Yeah. And they come to your factory. You need to have a factory, you know, for fabrication purposes. And they do site inspection. And they will tell you, you need to have a plasma cutter. You need to have this. You need to have that. All those big machines. Mm. And I will ask them, you know, you have to give me an opportunity, you know, for me to start purchasing those machines, because it's difficult in South Africa to get funding for equipment and stuff. Because especially as a woman, if you don't have collateral and they say you are risky and so forth because you don't have an engineering background, you just stepped into the industry. So it has been really difficult for me, but I'm slowly but surely proving to them that, you know, I want to be in this industry. So you know, I'm a member of a different, you know, associations like Steel Federation, Association of South Africa. I collaborate with other big companies in order to learn and understand what more do I need to add in my company in order to be competitive, you know, because I don't want to get the job because I'm a woman, I'm black, you know. I need to get it because of merit, you know. True. I can deliver same quality products.
Yeah, definitely. Muzi?
With me, I think it's what you just elaborated on earlier on. There are a lot of challenges which I've seen personally. I were to start with it's with our own black brothers and sisters as well. It's more about corruption. That's the first thing. That will this guy be able to do this, which goes to jealousy. You know, and then they tend to judge you with what car you're driving. True. We've tried everything. I mean, I've tried it. You know, okay, I'm sorry, but I do have those, you know, tried. Okay, no, let me use my Uno to go there. Probably they'll think, you know, it doesn't have manic shame. But, you know, you go somewhere where you think you're going to see big guys, you go with your big machine, hoping that, you know, they will realize this one can be able to do this. You know, we're sitting at one of the highest level in terms of grading, you know, but still we're struggling.
Is that CIDP grading?
Yes. Oh, we're still struggling. And then, but I believe now with time, you know, people will come down and be normal. And last week I went to Qatar, you know, trying, you know, to penetrate the market there, which is they are the first in the world, you know, in terms of the GDP and all that. So those people, the number of people, which is a million plus, they all of them, they reach.
Yeah, true.
And listening to you doing your presentation, you know, willing to give you, a space to say, okay, no, you can come into our space, we'll give you a platform and see whether can you perform. You know, you wonder, in our own country where there's these opportunities, our own people, together with those who are previously advantaged, they blocking us, and our own guys are blocking us, and it's very difficult. But I believe with time, we'll get those opportunities to penetrate the market.
What's your DB grading on?
7.
Okay. Yeah. So Muzi, you're raising an important point. I know what you mean, because I had to find myself where buying Range Rovers I didn't need, buying G Wagons I didn't need. Do you understand? And for the same purpose that you make mention of, do you understand? Because sometimes to some of them, Mangfiang and Paul said, this one, you know, he's gonna feed himself first before he renders a service.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Mm. And it's interesting. The next thing, then come Van der Walt, Van der Walt will get there in a barque or will get there with something. Do you understand? With Van der Walt, they'll never look at him in a context of this one. He's going to supply, or he's going to feed himself first. Do you understand? So maybe it's something that Tsepo, you can help me understand. Why do we have this misconception?
Well, I'll tell you what. Whenever you go, people tend to judge you. You know, they look at how you present yourself. Office is good, but at the same time, it can be bad. Hence, you hear Muzi saying that he had to downgrade himself to an Uno for him at least to be accepted to the market. But what I also observed while I was in this industry was, for as long as you there's an African name into the applications, and there are majority of our Afrikaners, they will look into them more than they look into you. They think of you like you would go to most of the engineering. I'll take for an example in Eguruleni. You'll go to those engineering companies. You'll find that majority of the guys who are behind the scene, who are actually producing the product, it's Africans. You know, and when you go present yourself to that company, what they do, they look at you and they think that, okay, he's one of those that we have behind. So if that is the case, then obviously it's not going to be easy for you to get the business, you know. And that has been the challenge, you know. Whenever they look at there's that stigma that we have, you know, that our African people cannot produce except to work for, you know. And with that, it has been a problem.
Yeah.
But we are slowly moving away from it, you know, with this upcoming, you know, brothers and sisters, you know, like Metebucho here, you know, you can see that the industry is starting to change, you know. And the more, what I also look into is, if she open up the door and she sees that, listen, I can actually do this, and she keeps the door open for others to come in, that's where the industry start to change.
Yeah. No, it's true. You know, it's been about issue of turning, getting in and opening up the door. I mean, right now, I know for a fact that I'm in a point now, I think, of growing assets. And now, yeah, you know, Muzi, it goes in levels. Né? Right now, at the level that now I'm getting into, I start realizing that what's more now important is what asset do you have? How much do you worth?
True.
Do you understand? Then what you drive.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And now I'm sitting now with these. I'm like, how? Do I still need this car? Sell. Because now I'm trying to build that asset capital.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Because the reality is, you wouldn't go to Qatar if Qatar wouldn't open up their doors if you don't have the balance sheet to even, you know, get them established.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? Yeah. So then it starts changing dynamics. Mm-hmm. So now I know that it's even more harder for you as a woman.
Yeah.
Because right now, where we've managed to penetrate, so and right now we push muzi, you know, or muzi sits there and says vala. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So then it becomes difficult to penetrate. So for me, you sitting at the point of an advantage being a black woman at this point in time, looking at the transformation agenda of the country, I would think these companies should jump to the opportunity to do business with you.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, because, you know, the people who are running the show, like, in front, they always say, what's in it for me? So then I have to think twice before I go into the deal, because I want to build this reputable business, you know. So it's very challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Muzi, brown envelope. We go look for business. And Bachi, Chief, I'll give you this business, but you must put in envelope. I've seen it's the trend that is growing these days.
True.
I'm sure, you know, so when in your case, they want envelope. If they don't want envelope, they want a bid.
You know, sometimes as a woman, you know, they speak a language that you don't understand. Like, really, can we go out for lunch? Can we meet? Where? I'm like, no, I'm here for business, you know.
Yeah.
Why should we then meet late after hours? Yeah. Things like that.
How have you dealt with it?
Hey, now you're exposing me.
No, I'm not. It's what's happening. It's in business.
You know, I'll be honest about it. I had some situation where I'll be told, listen, this is you doing this. You know, you get a call that okay, listen, Muzi, this is that, this and that. So what can you do for us?
Okay,
you know, you will respond accordingly depending how desperate you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in this market, you know, what I've seen is that they made it so huge in such a way that they've welcomed certain people within this space.
Okay,
because to be honest, which is the truth, it might hurt to the others.
Mm-hmm.
From apartheid, we got opportunities. They were open to us. We're still adjusting to this.
True.
All of a sudden, people from England flock into our market.
Yeah.
People from, we've got our own black brothers from Africa as well. They flock into the market. You go to Johannesburg Water, you're competing with people from, you know, Zimbabwe, Angola, and all those.
And they don't mind carrying cash full in a bag. Ne?
You know, so the whole thing, you know, if you can't keep up yourself, you're going to stay behind. You join, you know, Shapas para, so they say on the train, for you to be able to stay on the market.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I believe our democracy and the policies were not put in place properly to accommodate people from local and then thereafter allow the others to come into the market. You know, now we, you know, it's a big market. Now there's a lot of flocking in and then we need to adjust to that. We need to adjust with our brothers at home as well. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening. So...
Okay. So now with the point that you've raised, there's a young Muzi, there's a young Tsepo, there's a young Tebogo that is listening. Do you understand? And there's a Tsepo right now that has been in this space for the longest time. And now they feel that they want to start their own business. Do you understand? And get into the space. And now they hear you saying there's a flock. Yeah. They get scared to say, does it even worth going there? Do you understand? It does it. So, Mina, let me ask you, is it worth it? Is there still an opportunity for new entrants to come in?
There is. There is a lot, especially for young kids. And I've encouraged my sons to get into the market. You know, they've got a different thinking, you know, into this. I said, you know, listen, get into the market. You know, they do work with me as well.
Okay.
You know, for them to get a feel. I go to some certain meeting, fight with some of my clients to have the mentality of saying, hey, I guess whoever. You know, I'm very sensitive on that subject. If I want to lose a client, will come with that mentality, I will lose that client. You know, they've been in my space as well, listening to that and tell me, you know, Dad, you need to calm down. I said, no, listen, this is Sarafika. You know, in a democracy, it's either you do this or you don't do it. So, yeah, there is, you know, I will encourage young kids to actually, the up and coming, you know, middle-aged boys or girls who are interested in business. There is a market, you know, in manufacturing, you know, in there are a lot of things, you know, so they can come in and face the music as well.
Is it? So why are we not opening up for women? Because, you know, this industry is closed for women.
For? Come again with that?
Why are we not opening up for women? Or when are we opening up for women?
You know, when I look at them, you know, I'm like, wow. Truly speaking, I'm like, you know I've worked in at the mine. I know what they're talking about. You know, I know a certain company, which is White Oak, is actually, I saw them in Middelburg, you know, in one of those mines. Now I see them, they're in Gauteng as well. You know, I'm like, when I hear what they're doing, you know, I'm like, wow. If they can be given opportunities, they can go big. You know, because I can imagine that company is probably now a multi-billion company.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so doing the same thing that they're doing. So there is a market out there.
And Shem, they've been trying, you know. they've been pushing. You know, keep on pushing, man, you know. And more than anything, for you that is there, be inspiration to other women.
Yeah.
Do you understand? That's why for me, the minute, you know, for me, you know, this came and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna have you to my show. I wanna have you to my show. And let's have a conversation. Do you understand? And for me, I think in your training respective professions, I wanna see maybe for the next day if ever I can have you guys on my TV show as well. You know, so that we really talk about these issues, take you guys out there. Do you understand? And more than anything, I mean, we're doing a show that the issue of branding came out a lot. Do you understand? For me, I've realized to say the one thing that I don't think that I'm the best businessman there is. Do you understand? But I take advantage of branding. You know, I positioning is important. Do you understand? So to say, review how you want to be looked. Do you understand? I know for a fact that even before you came, I mean, I looked at your branding, you know, to say, who are you talking to? Do you understand? Are they hearing you? Because I've realized sometimes this is not our call. Do you understand? And for me, I've realized that sometimes we might not be appealing to the person that we need to be talking to. Do you understand? Because of whatever. Do you understand? So that's why for me, it's important that we take advantage of these opportunities. Sometimes these white people, they say, we're not there. Do you understand? Because when they go on Google, we're not there. Or when they do whatever, they cannot find us. Do you understand? I think that's what we need to take advantage of, marketing opportunities that are there. Even if maybe it means bringing a me or whoever else that specializes in that could help you from a positioning point of view. Do you understand? That's why for me, bringing you here, it was intentional because I want you to be recognized. Do you understand? I want other people to know that you exist and I want other people to give you business. Do you understand? And more than anything, I want to speak to a young man, a young woman that is out there. I want to speak to a temple to say, you know what, there's an opportunity. The market is open. Do you understand? Africa is open for business. Engineering space is open for business. And let's really get into there and penetrate. Because one thing that I've learned is that it's very hard and it's very lonely in the top. Do you understand? For me, sometimes, I mean, we come across opportunities and platforms where I could realize if even there was five of us playing at this league and we could say, guys, let's take out 10 million, 10 million, and we buy this building or we do this or we do that. We could do exciting stuff. Yeah. Do you understand? Yeah. But Muzi, who do we have this conversation with if ever we won?
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Who do I have that conversation with if ever you won?
Yeah.
Do you understand? Who do you have that conversation with if ever you are alone there in Rustenburg?
Yeah.
Do you understand? So for me, that's why even how the show is structured, we bring in big names on the show and we're trying to bring in guests that are most likely to network amongst themselves because this is an establishment of a network. Do you understand? And for me, tomorrow, when I will be sitting in a point, when I'm sitting in the transaction and they say they need this, and you know what, I've got that guy. Let me call Muzi. Muzi, I've got these guys that flew in. Do you understand? I was hosting businessmen from Zambia. Do you understand? Zambia right now, the Chinese are penetrating. And right now, these are the markets that are needing to be there. Our brothers are calling out to say, guys, where are you? Do you understand? And for me, if ever I do not know there's a Tebogo out there or there's a Muzi out there, how do I? Do Do you understand? And how do you speak of me if you don't know that I exist? Mm. Do you understand? Mm. I think right now we need to be intentional, because I always say, you know, the Jews are pushing their own agenda. The Muslims are pushing their own agenda. Do you understand? The Chinese are pushing their own agenda. What agenda are we pushing as an African child? Do you understand? What agenda are we pushing as a black child? Do you understand? So that's why for me, it's things that I really want us to be intentional about it. And it's something that I really want us to be an inspiration to others out there. I know it's not easy. So, and that's why I think in my own little corner, I want to encourage you to say you're doing well. Do you understand? We can do better. Do you understand? And more than anything, to say it's going to be hard. They're going to shut doors. They're going to do this and that. Do you understand? And whenever they do you understand? Remember, you know, this point. Remember this defining moment, this conversation that we're having. To say you are not there only representing yourself. Do you understand? You're representing us. You're representing a lot of other people out there. Do you understand? And that's why as well, you know, Tepo, you this is a point where as well you need to be dusting yourself and seeing to say, in this industry, as big as it is, do you understand? Right now, you know, training Muzi could be rendering in 5 services, do you understand? Mechanical, electrical, and this and this. Devho could be doing this and that. Do you understand? You don't have to do them all as a start. You could find one niche to say what will be your call. Do you understand? Because engineering is huge. Mm. And how do we start penetrating? Do you understand? Because you might find there is something that we can do that all our businesses could even benefit. Mm. Do you understand? Right now, how do we go knock better and say we've got the capacity, we can do this? Mm. Do you understand? Mm. And these are the things that for me, I feel that it's an era that black partnerships need to fail. Mm. Do you understand? Because right now, let's take a look at this. Most black businesses, do you understand, are single-owned businesses. Mm. If ever there's a partner, it's a family person that we've strategically put them in, or this and that. Mm. And for me, you look at other, you know, colleagues or whatsoever, then they're running partnerships that are successful. Because they're bringing skills that are complementing each other. But I'm happy being a one-man show. Mm-hmm. Because when I bring in tuning, I'm gonna start having problems. I was like, well, how has been some of the JVs or partnerships that have you seen successful ones?
Yeah, I've seen some few, but I've never done it myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I only look at it in a different way, because personally, on my space, you know, for an example, yesterday I just said to my admin lady, say, no, listen, there's on N1. Sunral is owning those. I mean, that's not my space.
True.
Sunral is owning those filling stations. Mm. They should be probably under, you know, contract.
Yeah.
Check when is that contract expiring. Can I take over? Can I buy the property?
Mm.
You know, and then, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, in business as well, you tend to, you know, move away from what you're comfortable with. And then in that space, that's when I feel personally I will have to invite Utsep and say, no, okay, I met Tsepo today. Tsepo, there's potentials. There's potential over there.
Mm.
You know, if you're interested, I mean, let's find out. Let's dig in more, you know, and see those type of, and see how can we penetrate that. But it goes back to what we're discussing earlier, who to talk to, who's, how, who, and how, and are they going to give you that opportunity? You know, that's another struggle as well.
True.
Those type of things. Yeah. So it's a bit challenging.
Mm. So, Debza, from a partnership point of view, have you seen successful partnerships?
I'm only starting now to try and see if I can partner with other companies. Mm-hmm. And I'm also happy that I've met Muzi. Yesterday I was presenting at one of the big companies here in Joburg. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for CIDB grading 6. And I told them, I've been in the mining industry. I haven't done work for government. So they don't really need the CIDB at the mines. Although I've done contracts more than 10 million rand. So I couldn't prove that I can deliver on the project.
Mm.
So, but they gave me an opportunity to say, go and find a partner, someone with CIDB grade 6 or 7. Mm. And then we can, you know, look into the opportunity.
No, definitely. You know. So I mean, I know, because I'm a grade 6. And I've realized that now I looked after some of the asset for some of these private companies.
Yeah.
It's interesting how the minute you come this side, they no longer care what your grade is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they look at the capability,
yeah,
do you understand, of what you can do. So, and that's it. But obviously, those are some of the industry dynamics that I think, you know, we can work on. Yeah. So, Tepo, I want to know, way forward from here for you, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, I've just started registering a company a month ago.
Okay.
It's M Empire. The direction that I took was I saw a gap of CNC training. You know, there's no much. The few that we have, you have to travel a distance, you know. So I'm looking at that space at the moment. The intention is to, I went to some of the colleges that are in existence, but I didn't find the CNC as in computer numerical control training.
Okay.
You know, so I'm looking at that space to, you know, start pushing our black brothers and sisters, you know, to penetrate that market and get that experience and start running their own companies.
Nice.
So that's the direction I'm taking.
No, definitely. Thank you, ladies. And gents, I think it's been a great conversation. I know that it's definitely not going to end here. You know, what I want to do, I think next year sometimes I want to be intentional. I want to bring in some of the big engineering companies that I know need your services and that say, Hora, we do not have black people.
Yeah.
You know, if I could bring two or three of them in studio and I bring you guys. And let's have a conversation with them. Do you understand? Because for me, I want, after we've had this conversation, let it be exchange of numbers, exchange of emails, and let it be exchange of transactions. We've made successful transactions in this show alone with people that have met here. Do you understand? And that have really established. So I think for us, if ever they say, no, there's no Muzi, but Muzi is here. You know, why you say I'm not here?
Yeah.
Do you understand? And it means in that way, we're able to hold them accountable. Do you understand? Right now, this is the power I have and this is the power that I use. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And I'm intentional about it. So are you guys up for the challenge?
Yeah, thank you very much.
You know, I like the part when you say, this is the power you have.
No, I do. No, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I had a meeting with an Investec CEO. Mm-hmm. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So when I'm talking about the power, so other people struggle and I'm just a nobody. Do you understand? So for me, it's if ever I could bring you who I want, do you understand? I want to bring you who I want. Do you understand? And for me, it's so that you can grow. Because it's when you can grow that we're able to all grow. Do you understand? But quickly, for people that want to see more of what you do, get in touch with you, where can they get hold of you?
My website is www.ditsohoprojects.co.za. They can also contact me on my cell phone 073-124-5478 or 014-594-1287.
Okay, my brother?
Well, they can get me on Twitter. It's @TsepoManyak. Without A at the end, and on Facebook, Tsepo Manyaka, social, on social media, and on cell phone number, you can get me on 081-215-9670. It's 081-215-9670.
My brother?
We are on website, muzilift.co.za. So the office number is 011-933-2515.
Okay.
So, yeah.
No, definitely. We usually close off the show in style. I want you to give me a 30-second word of inspiration to somebody that is listening that's on the verge of giving up. Where's my phone? My brother, give me your phone. You know, I sent Antonin to fetch my phone. Oh, there it is. So we usually close off the show because I know that there's somebody that is listening that's on the verge of giving up. So we usually close off in such that our guests need to give a 30-second word of inspiration that I record as well. So, and that we get to. So we're going to start with ladies. Because it's ladies first. So what is your 30-second word of inspiration?
Okay, my 30-second is, you know, as women, we need to invest in ourselves. You know, continuous learning is very important. We're living in the fourth industrial revolution now. So we need to know the Internet of Things. Currently in my space, you know, it's very difficult, it's very challenging. So you need to be updated about the latest technology and so forth. So I encourage women to tap into these male-dominated industries. Let's show them that we can deliver, you know, we can do it and we can be successful.
Nice.
Thank you.
I like that. My brother?
The industry is big. Just stay focused. Remain to the position that you feel that you want to occupy. And don't look back. Whatever challenges that you face, don't give up. Stay focused, because at times it gets tougher to such an extent that you're thinking of, you know, losing everything. But if you don't give up, you will remain focused on what you do. Yeah.
Nice. My brother?
Certain things, they're easier said than done. It's easy for us to say, no, stay focused. It's when you're out there facing the situation, it's not easy. You know, put your mind. It's not easy. Just focus. And then with time, when you wake up in the morning, just have a small prayer. Ask God to, you know, it's within your right, to, you know, to say to God, God, I demand this from you.
Nice.
I'm your son, so, or daughter. You know, I need this from you. Make it possible. And stay positive all the time.
Nice. No, definitely. I think it was a beautiful discussion that we had. You can definitely go to www.cliffcentral.com. Go to podcast to actually catch the podcast and the show for today with our exciting guest that we have. But we're back here next week, same time, same place, right here on Cliff Central. My name is Deboho Mafodi, right here on 360 Biz. We out.
This is CliffCentral.com. Cliff